This is the College Crosscast Conference Previews for 2019, and on this episode, we will be talking about the Big Ten. And given that this conference is probably the most toughest top to bottom, in spirit of this past weekend, we are going to call this the Royal Rumble Conference. So we are going to be doing cheesy, very cheesy comparisons to WWE superstars, which I will make, and then Jake will completely dunk on me for being wrong. Is that correct, Jake?
Well, no, I'd dunk on you even if you're right, so, you know, like, don't take it personally.
I don't worry. But yes, we do have Jake here. We also have Safe. So we have Safe being the Big Ten hype man in addition to all this. So
this is God Conference. Let's go.
So this is going to be something. We got two different storylines going on right off the bat. Two of us doing wrestling comparisons and the third being the hype man. But we will start off with the hype man's hype school. Our first combatant in the Big Ten Royal Rumble, the Johns Hopkins Blue Jays. Johns Hopkins is like John Cena. They've been around forever. You know, they're the most popular. They won a lot of stuff in the past. They haven't really done much this decade, but they do help team, but they're still pretty good, and they help others get over. Jake, was this a good comparison?
It's a good comparison, except I think Hopkins is on the up, and John Cena is currently going through, like, a really bad midlife crisis. I'm higher. Hopkins feels like, you know, they're on the ascendancy, but, like, poor John Cena, yeah. Seems like he's having a crisis. Anyhow, so that's a good comparison, right? It's a solid start. Hopkins was ranked number one in the preseason poll, which I'm going to give a little side eye to, considering Maryland has been the number one team in the regular season every year of this conference's existence. But, like we said, this is a very good team. I think I was the high vote on them. In our poll, and from pretty much what I've seen, it was the high vote. I really like this team. You know, it's the losses of Tinney and Sandwick are really tough. Tinney is obviously, you know, kind of a one of a kind player in the things he could do. You're not going to replace that. And I think Sandwick got a lot of criticism, you know, that was kind of undue. He got to play with a lot of injuries and was always just consistently productive week in, week out. Great passer of the ball. Him and his brother really helped kind of transform the Hopkins offense in a lot of ways. And I think it'll be fine in his absence, but I do think he should be given a lot of credit for the way in which Hopkins' offense transformed after they missed the tournament in 2013. On the side, Marv's great. Cole Williams, if he can take another step, is going to be a monster. DeSmone had a decent freshman year. They're going to need to find other scorers on there because, you know, they're a bit lacking. But, A, this is a team that knows how to get the best out of its talent, and they do bring in the number one recruit in the country in Cousin Joey Epstein. So I think they'll be fine there. And then I look on the defense, and they bring back pretty much everybody. Robert Kuhn, Patrick Foley, Jared Reinson, Jack Ray Pine, Damian Jones, and Schwartz Dicky Mitty. Owen Colwell was solid. Goalie will be a question. Rob Turnbull was pretty solid for them and gave them what they needed last year. I think people are a bit too harsh on this team when you consider how great they were on the defensive end last year, and that they bring all of that back. And then, you know, the consistent offense that they have, you know, had at an elite level for the last couple of years. There are pieces there that, you know, do need to be, you know, filled in, and, you know, but I'm optimistic that they will be able to fill them in. I think this is a quarterfinal team contending for a final sports spot again.
I echo all of that. I'm really excited about their defense. I think if I could use a wrestling term, I was like that D had a lot of heat. I don't know if that's if I use that term correctly, but I think which is Foley, Daniel Jones, really aggressive defense. Both lead the team with cost turnovers in 14. We're going to have a little bit of a difficulty of replacing Brock Turnbull, who had actually a pretty really solid season when they came through, especially in some tough spots last year. Loss of Joel Tinney, Jack Sandwick, notwithstanding, I still think that this offense is going to put up a lot of points. Cole Williams really had a breakout year last year. I think he's going to have even a better year this year. Kyle Moore could really finish up his Hopkins career with a really special season. I don't think 45, 50 goals is out of the question for him. So it's going to be really great to see if they live up to that number one preseason Big Ten team. But I kind of saw them going into the season as one or two. I kind of always give Maryland the top spot, just their consistency the last half dozen years. But I think that right now they're really close to the Terps, but I don't think Hopkins is going to have too much of a step backwards with the loss of Tinney and Stanwyck. I actually think they have a good chance of really, really putting something special this year.
Hopkins, I think. I don't know. I wouldn't put them preseason number one in the Big Ten. I think Maryland has a little bit more on the table. But that being said, I think Hopkins is definitely looking like a team that's going to hang around, fourth through eighth all year long. They'll be in the hunt. There'll be a final, they'll be in the hunt for a Final Four as well. I think the floor is hosting a game at Homewood in the NCAA tournament, so they got a high floor. I don't know if they're at that elite level, but I think Hopkins is definitely a very solid group that's going to be in the top 10 all year long and should be interesting to see. I can't wait for Adam to hype them up as the best team in the world for 3 months, but yeah. The Johns Hopkins Blue Jays. Next up, we go to the Maryland Terrapins. So going from Safe's team to Jake's team. Maryland Terrapins are like Becky Lynch. They're the man. And when it comes to picking a favorite for the NCAA tournament, feels like the past couple of years, it's always been Maryland as our preseason picks. This year might be a little bit of vulnerability, kind of like Becky Lynch last night in the Royal Rumble losing to Asuka. But she came back into the Royal Rumble match and won it, and now she's got an opportunity to get back on top main eventing WrestleMania. So even though Maryland had that loss in the semifinal to Duke, they return quite a bit, and can they get back to that spot? And just picture John Tillman pointing to the NCAA Lacrosse Championships logo. Back to the national championship game. Was this a good comparison?
It was a solid comparison. I think there's some holes in it. And the fact that Maryland is basically like Roman Reigns, and that they win all the time, and people get really mad about it for some reason, because like they think Maryland is like boring and slow and trying to ruin the sport of lacrosse, much like dumb wrestling fans thought Roman Reigns was ruining wrestling, even though Roman Reigns was awesome.
Yeah, that one's a bit better.
That was my comparison. By the way, big ups to Roman Reigns, who's battling leukemia and seems to be doing pretty well. He's in the Hobbs and Shaw Fast and the Furious movie. Anyhow, Maryland. It's Maryland. I don't know what you want me to say. Like there are holes on the, probably more holes this year than they've had in recent years. But I don't know anyone that has replaced losses more or better than Maryland has in, the last 5 or 6 years. Like, they just, every time there's, big losses from a Maryland team, they get filled. And it's not like they're, it looks like based on some of the preseason scrimmages, they're going to start Jared Bernhardt, Logan Wisnowskis, and Bubba Fairman at attack. I do think they're going to be more flexible with it. We saw, the way they use Connor Kelly as an attackman, even though it was listed as a midi. I think we're going to see them around. I think Tillman has become very flexible in terms of trying to play positionless on the offensive end, and guys are just going to rotate, something I like. But, Bernhardt, Wisnowskis, and Fairman is a just ridiculous attack unit that's going to put up a lot of goals. On the defensive end, they lose Bryce Young and Matt Neufeld. Those are two tough losses. But you slide Curtis Cordley in as the number one defenseman. He was a great number two last year. Should be a great number one. This is a team that plays really solid team defense. Nick Brzozowski can slide in for Neufeld as an experienced great long pole. They bring in Cole McCarr, who's one of the, or Cade, but I have that one. But he was one of the more highly ranked defensive recruits. He's apparently looked really good. Goalie, it's Brent McCarr. That's the name. My bad. But he was one of the most highly ranked defensive recruits in the country. Goalie, Maryland always has a good goalie. I don't know. This is the most talented roster, as always, top to bottom. They've got the best coach, in all of college across, in my opinion. They've got enough back that should power them through. And I don't know. It's, are you betting some on history? Sure. But if you're going to bet on history, you bet on the team that makes the Final Four every year.
Yeah, you know, I always felt with loss of Connor Kelly, guys, it's he's kind of like this face of the program player, like a Ben Reeves and Justin Gutterding. It's Mr. Everything for Maryland, led the team in goals, assists, and points. So his loss is going to be, big. But if any team that can replace or, you know, find pieces to compensate for that loss is Maryland. But I kind of really felt like the middle of the field is where Maryland's going to have the toughest time to replace their losses. Matt Neufeld and Bryce Young are just two huge pieces at long stability and defensive. And of course, Jake always gives him a shout out, and rightfully so, is Tim Rotans, kind of like one of the more underrated players at Maryland, always coming through with 2 points a game last year, and just kind of always at the right place at the right time for the Terps when they needed a goal or a good pass. So, that's again, this is Maryland. They don't really take a step backwards. They just keep going, and I think they're going to do it again. That loss of goalie is actually one place I don't have that much of concern for, because as Jake's pointed out, every year that Tillman's there, they've had a great, at least above average goalie.
Well before Tillman.
Yeah, so it's like goalie U at College Park. But yeah, Maryland's one A in the Big Ten, with Hopkins.
I think Rotans is even more to me a bigger loss than Kelly is a tough loss. There is no question about that. But Matt Rambo was a big loss, and they replaced him with Kelly seamlessly. And I think they will replace Kelly with Jared Bernhardt seamlessly. Rotans is a guy I think is a big loss because he was their best midfielder, and he put up 41 points, and then he played short stick D midi for them a lot of the times, and that was a big one. That's the big one. That's the weakness for me with this Maryland team, because I know the losses on the other sides, but they just, to me, they can be plugged in and filled and still be at an elite level. The short stick D midi play really hurt them last year, and they lose two guys, and Adam DeMillo and Tim Rotans, who, while being offensive players, did that role for them, and they were able to, plug the gap enough so that Maryland could, get over and get to another Final Four. Some of the reports in the preseason scrum, just take them for what they are, a bit iffy. There's some that say good. There's some that, maybe it's a bit of a struggle still. See, that's the question. Rotans did so well. I mean, if there's any player like I would take, to still have on this Maryland team, it would be him, even more than, Connor Kelly or Bryce Young, with all due respect to both those guys who were fantastic players.
I think there was a good point that we made during the Top 20 podcast that Jake made. This is probably the most vulnerable Maryland's going to be in the next couple of years. That's the good news. The bad news is Maryland's still a top four team nationwide. So good luck with that, everybody.
I mean, yeah, this team loses nothing in this year's team. So, going into next year, they will lose nothing, and they bring in the number one recruiting class. So if you want to get them now. I mean, this is the year to get them, but I still, they've several times, one or two times, in the past 5 or 6 years, they've lost, big pieces, and they still ended up making the Final Four. So, it is a bet on culture, and it is a bet on coach and talent, but no one else has earned that bet more than they have.
Move on to one of the more interesting teams in the nation, that being the Michigan Wolverines. An up-and-coming team with a lot of potential. Let's look in the NXT department. I'll go with Johnny Gargano. Took a couple lumps along the way, but making himself out to be one of the future stars. Well, Michigan's looking to be one of the future contenders. Not there yet, but in the next couple of years could be very fun to watch, and this year could be their breakout year. Jake, was this a good comparison for our Big Ten Royal Rumble?
Not bad. I'll put Johnny more like Rutgers, because they both consistently lost, games and matches they really needed to win. But it's not a bad comparison. I like it quite a bit. Michigan, I've been tooting the horn, since last year, and I will continue to do so this year. I just really like this team. They are talented at so many positions. On the offensive side of the ball, they return their top five scorers, six of their top seven. Nick DiCaprio was a really solid defense. They bring him back. It's just, this is a team that loses in total 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 seniors. That's it.
They get 90% of their scoring back next year.
90%.
Or right under. But yeah, like, this is a team that, like, I may have gone a little overboard with my ranking of them at 11th, but I really feel like this is the season where if Michigan, like, really want to make that leap and just, like, arrives earlier than everyone has expected, I think this is the year they do it. You know, Coach Conroy, all respect to Coach Paul, brought this team into fruition and took it through his first handful of seasons and got him into the big, top 20 in his last year. So, you know, all respect to him. But, you know, I just think Coach Conroy, team's gone, 8-6, big win against Notre Dame last year, getting all their pieces coming back into this year and, you know, just keeping that recruiting. And I just think Michigan just has, got a little bit of momentum going on, and I think this is the year maybe they surprise everyone and get into the Big Ten tournament earlier than expected.
Yeah, Michigan is going to be a very interesting team to watch. I don't know if they're there yet, but they're going to they're going to be in the hunt for a Big Ten conference tournament spot, and if you get into the Big Ten tournament, that could be your golden ticket into an at-large too. So going to be very interesting to see with the Wolverines. And looking at their schedule, too, I mean, not just in the Big Ten, they got some interesting games. At Jacksonville, they host Yale and Notre Dame. They host Delaware, too, so that could be an interesting one, too. So, going to be a fun team to keep an eye on throughout the season.
I mean, I really kind of disappointed, but I'm sure the Michigan fans were kind of disappointed there in a year performance, losing by 8 to Maryland, getting doubled up by Rutgers, and then you're losing kind of a winnable game against Ohio State. But then, they lost to Hopkins by 1, and then beating Penn State at Penn State when Penn State had everything in the world to play for, it's just a really good way to end the season and, give them a Big Ten win. And, I'm not saying it's going to catapult them to, 12-3 regular season, but, Michigan, they beat Notre Dame last year, and if they can do that again this year, they'll give them a good non-conference win, and they give them a fighting chance in at least two of their Big Ten games this year.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing to me. Like, they beat good teams last year. They beat Notre Dame, they beat Penn State, they didn't even beat Hopkins. If you look at this year, they get Notre Dame at home, they get Hopkins at home, they get Penn State at home, they get Ohio State at home.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna play Yale and Marquette out of conference. If they they got those big games, they can win two or four. Notre Dame, Hopkins, Penn State, Ohio State, at home, and then maybe they get Yale, Marquette, and Maryland on the road, and maybe pick off one of those. You're talking about three really good wins. I look at this. I like their chances. I think they're gonna make the Big Ten tournament. I do. I think they're going to. I think they're going to beat Ohio State at home. They get Hopkins or Penn State. I think they might pull the upset in one of those games. And then two could probably get you in. And then when you talk about getting the chance, one more crack at whoever the number one team is. And there's going to be a lot of chances for wins for this team. And they already proved as a young team last year with not a lot of experience, in those kinds of games, they could do it. I'm riding the wave for this team. I believe it is going to be an NCAA tournament team.
This is how I'll know our feelings of Michigan are true. I'm not saying they're going to beat Yale, obviously. But if there was a game where they can impress, it would be a neutral field, right? Against a top, that'll be their best team to date in their season. That's the first game of March. If they can go into that game, they should go 3-0. I don't think it's outlandish to say Michigan should beat Cleveland State, Drexel, and Jacksonville.
And
St. John's. And then go into Yale, the second game of March, and go into Yale on a Big Ten Sunday in Hotlanta. That's all I'm just saying. If they go into that game 4-0 and they kind of impress, then you kind of know that, this is going to be a year where Michigan is in the Big Ten conversation.
Yeah, if that game, they are competitive in that game, and they, you're not saying they're going to win.
Yeah.
But if that is a competitive, and look, It is relatively still early in the EL season. You know, that's still, you know, what the Ivy starts, I think, February, you know, week in February night. That's still, you know, what, 3 or 4 weeks in the EL season, as opposed to be week 5 for Michigan. You know, that's a chance that they're competitive in that game, or maybe even some if they pull off the win, you know. There's three games, the Yale, Marquette, Notre Dame out of conference for them. I think they need to pull off one of those. If they pull off one of those, I think with 3 of their 5 Big Ten games being at home, I think they'll be set up well for a at-large bidder. You know, who knows? You know, the Big Ten is a gauntlet. If you get in the, you know, the tournament, the conference tournament, in any conference, you have a chance to, you know, potentially win.
Now go to their bitter rivals, the Ohio State Buckeyes. For the wrestling comparison, this is where Jake's going to start finding holes in mine. Let's go with Alexa Bliss. You know, they ride some high highs, but otherwise they're kind of, sometimes they're just there. Other times they're up in the title picture like they were 2 years ago. They act heelish, but then, you know, like all the pushing and shoving, but then nothing really comes of it. Kind of like Alexa Bliss sometimes doing a surprise attack, then nothing really comes out of it from there. And it's an odd numbered year, so
I'm shocked. Some high potential here. You know, Ohio State to me is like a litmus test on how good the Big Ten is. If Ohio State's really good, then this conference is going to be like ridiculous. Because I think they are. I said Michigan's third in the Big Ten. I blanked on Penn State. I would put Michigan fourth. Now that I say that. So like, I think Ohio State is behind those four. But if the fifth best team in the Big Ten and Ohio State is really, really good, or the sixth best team potentially, I mean, this could be just a ridiculous conference this year. And it's not like the pieces aren't there. It is, you know, Troy LeClaire has shown that he can be a great player, you know, in the past. He put up huge numbers as a freshman. Jack Jasinski was, you know, has been a solid player, and he's had some good performances in big games. Jack, he put up 23 goals as a freshman. Brian Tarfenkel is a great short to committee. Again, the questions for me come, you know, with this is a defensive team primarily that is replacing a lot of really talented defensive. Eric Evans, Freddie Freibot, Ben Randall. All three of those guys were really great for Ohio State for a long time, especially when they made the run to the national championship. And, you know, you got to replace those. You know, to me, it looks like a team that if in another conference, I think they would really challenge. In the Big East, I think they'd probably be maybe the second best team and challenge, you know, for that spot. In the ACC, I think they would be potential to get into that 4 spot in the, you know, conference tournament. I just think early on to me, they're clear behind the top three, the loaded top three in Maryland, Johns Hopkins, and Penn State. And then, you know, maybe behind Michigan. But, you know, that 4 spot's going to be key. You know, like, it's not like they could not be. Like, they still roughed Michigan up a bit. You know, they big brothered Michigan a bit in that game last year. And I think there is still a mentality thing there between, you know, their two rivals, but Ohio State has been the far more successful program. You know, like, the thing with them is the schedule is a bit manageable early. Cleveland State, BU, at UMass will be a tricky game. I think that'll be a good game to see, you know, where they are. If they can go in there on the road and be a UMass team that's, you know, riding high off last season, that'll be a good non-con win for them. At Marquette as well, you know, if they can get through good in the early non-con slate, because then the back half of their schedule, I mean, their final 7 games of the year are Denver, at Notre Dame, Rutgers, at Penn State, at Hopkins, home Maryland, at Michigan. That's rough. But if they can start well, get some wins in non-con play, like UMass win that could potentially be a really good win, a Marquette win that could be a solid win.
Hofstra in March is always a trap game, so if they could get past that, that would be good.
Yeah, if they can start well in non-con play, you know, then they're putting themselves in a position, you know, that even if they don't do, you know, maybe even if they lose maybe 3 games of Big Ten play, you know, they still got the Denver and Notre Dame games. Like, that's the thing, is that's what, to me, makes this conference so fascinating, is that, like, I could see Ohio State. I could see Ohio State losing to Penn State, Hopkins, Michigan on the road. But, like, would I be shocked if they beat Notre Dame or maybe beat UMass or Denver and then, like, have some really great non-con wins even if they're, you know, struggling in the conference? No. And they'd have a great RPI on strength of schedule. So, like, that's what makes, to me, the Big Ten so fascinating, is that every one of these teams, I think, has the chance, really, of being an NCAA tournament quality team. but how many at-large teams can you get in? You know, that's what is really, I think, the big question and the big storyline for me.
This we're going to save that for the predictions because I think that's a very interesting point to take. But yeah, this if you want to go.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, like, that's just kind of a disappointing season for Ohio State coming off the, you know, record-setting 2017, but they were probably a Towson and Marquette overtime loss. You know, if they didn't lose either of those OT games, they'd probably make an at-large bid. Like, their worst loss of that year would have been to Denver if they, you know, had beaten Towson and Marquette, and everybody else, or Notre Dame would have been their worst loss. They would have had a Maryland win, a Michigan win, and a Rutgers win, and they would have been in the Big Ten tournament. Like, even as a kind of a disappointing year, they were kind of like borderline tournament team, which kind of bodes well going this year. They get 75% of their scoring returning. Trey LeClaire hopefully has more of a like a freshman type year than a kind of a, you know, a little bit of a step back last season. But, you know, this would be an odd year for Ohio State. So they always make a good run in, you know, 2017 and 2015, maybe 2019, furthers the trend. But, you know, that back end of the schedule is going to be a little tough, you know, with Hopkins, Penn State, Hopkins, and Maryland, three of the last four games of the season. So, you know, if they're going to be able to get in the tournament this year, they're going to have all the games this year. And Denver, Notre Dame, one of those that can knock one two off, and they'll be much better position with their at-bid. You know, if they have all the games of this should win, and they split Denver and Notre Dame, you know, they can, you know, be a fourth or third team in Big Ten and, you know, feel pretty good going with their at-large resume.
One other quick note.
They lost 4-1 goal games last year. That is worth noting. They lost 4-1 goal games.
That was one, like, 2016?
And they won one. So, I mean, a 1-4 record in 1 goal games can easily be overturned just through natural luck. Mm-hmm.
One final note on the Buckeyes is never underestimate Nick Myers. I think Nick Myers is in the, I know Andy Shea just won the national championship, but I think Shea and Myers, I think, are definitely in everyone's top three of most underrated coaches. So I don't count out a team coached by Nick Myers at any point. So even with that tough end of the season, they got the right man in, at the helm to help guide them through it.
Yep.
Next up, we have Penn State. For Penn State, let's see. A guy that we expect so much out of, and they haven't accomplished it yet, but they're still there, and now they really have a good shot.
Finn Balor.
Yeah, I was going to say. Finn Balor. I was kind of considering Finn Balor for Rutgers, too, of like, oh, they get really good, and then they get hurt, and then they have to go back from there. But I think Finn Balor for Penn State's a good one, I think. And kind of like Finn Balor, there's the opportunity for Penn State to redeem themselves. Finn Balor's gotten back into the title picture. And is a fan favorite, Penn State. They've got a fun brand of lacrosse, and they've got a lot of potential this year. We've talked about it in the preseason top 20 that this is kind of their make-or-break year, given that they've had so many years of potential under Tambroni, and they haven't executed it yet. But this is the best Nittany Lion team that Tambroni has. They're on everyone's top 10s. They're probably the highest-ranked team out of everyone, out of teams that did not make the NCAA tournament last year. So is this the year that Penn State finally seals the deal?
Better be.
I mean, here's the thing. They have to make at least a quarterfinal, right?
I'm always hesitant on tournament results. It's the tournament, you know. They got to make it in the tournament, for sure. No doubt about it. Like, they have to make it in the tournament. From there, they've got to, you know, I mean, like, they should be a quarterfinal team. Like, this should be a team that makes a quarterfinal. It should be a team that is a home game, in my opinion. Like, that would be, like, that's the two big ones for me. Like, they should... If they're on the road in the tournament, I feel like maybe they backdoored their way in. That's not enough for this team. But, you know, the big thing, they should make the tournament, they should call and they'll go for it. But, I mean, it's just... You can't... You just look at the roster, and it's... It's where there is no weakness here. There is nothing about this team that should not, you know, struggle. I mean, it's just every position on the field has elite players on it. Every unit on the field for this team. I mean, they gave up 9.5 goals last year, and that's with a 17 spot in week one. And they bring back pretty much everyone from that defense. You know, this is an offense that was a bit disappointing, you know, a year ago. And they were still 12th in adjusted offensive efficiency. And now they get Grant Hayman back. This is a team with maybe the best faceoff guy in the conference with Jerry Arcari. They have a goalie, a sophomore, say 55%. Everything's here. I mean, you know, it's... There is, again, it's kind of a case of, like, I don't know what's left to say, because I think we've said it. It's put up or shut up time. They have one of the best rosters in the country. They should be making, I mean, from a talent perspective, it's a top five team. And from a history perspective, it is a top 15 to 20 team. And so I think we've kind of, like, squared in, like, kind of found the middle for them in, like, kind of the 7-8-9 range. But look, they are the one team. If you told me they won the Big Ten, they beat Hopkins and Maryland in the regular season or in the tournament, I would not be surprised at all. They have absolutely the players to do it. If you told me they made the Final Four this year, they've got the guys to do it. You know, and it's... And again, and if you told me they kind of tripped up and fumbled all over themselves and were disappointing, I wouldn't be surprised either. But, yeah, I mean, it's... There's nothing really left to say with them. It's... Now you gotta go. You gotta prove it now. This is it.
If Penn State sweeps the Ivy, that Yale, Penn, Cornell trifecta they have in late February, early March, then you know it's a five bid league this year.
If they beat Yale and Cornell in those two, this is going to be a top. This is a potential number one seed team.
This is a good top four seed, top three seed team. Like, and that they hold everything in their own control, because like, as long as Penn State can take care of their knock-on games, if they go 1-1, Yale and Cornell, and they, you know, beat Penn, they can just get one or two Big Ten wins, and they should make both the Big Ten tournament and the at least the NCAA tournament. If they can win either Yale or Cornell and two Big Ten games, they should make the tournament. But that's not what this team should look for.
They need to get at least a third, I think.
I could see this team anywhere from the fifth best team in the conference to, you know, leading the Big Ten. They have everything, all the pieces there. They got Grant Mint obviously back, but you know they're just loaded on every position. And you know maybe this is the year that Penn State can make a run, because like I don't see them losing overtime, giving up fourth quarter leads to Villanova and Robert Morris after last year. They can just start off the season 2-0, 3-0, and then like you know just go into that Yale game without like feeling of losing winnable games early in the season like they did last year. Maybe they actually they beat Yale last year, didn't they? They almost beat Cornell last year. They were up a lead.
They blew the lead.
Yeah, they were leading over in the fourth quarter, and then they blew that lead. There's three of those games, and you know, again, I may be a little bit of an apologist for Penn State, but like, they, you know, kind of you get that feeling if they're like on the back end of these one goal give up fourth quarter lead kind of games, like maybe they put it together and that, you know, there's a slim margin of victory, and then, you know, then they'll be on the front end this year, and maybe they actually have a really special year, kind of like 2017 type year.
Well, no, that's the thing with them. They were ninth. They were in terms of overall, you know, their efficiency rating and analytics across. They were the ninth best team in the country. Their offense was ranked 12th. And their defense was ranked 25th. It was the top 25. But again, they gave up less than 10 goals per game. Like, it's tricky because there are going to be people look at it and say, yeah, you know, you're kind of apologizing for losing this game. But again, like, it's, I don't know, when they won, they freaking blew teams out. Like, they wiped the floor with Ohio State. They were running Hopkins off the field for a time there. You know, they beat Penn by 3. They beat, you know, other games, won by 7. It was 7-7-3, 11-4, 11-8-2.
Close game to the Terps, right? Wasn't that the two-game loss?
Yeah. Well, and their losses were by 1-3-2, 1-3-1.
I mean, but for the Michigan loss, that Penn State's probably in the Big Ten tournament and probably, despite a disaster start to the season, like, they're in the conversation of an at-large, you know, if they make the Big Ten tournament. But
then, no, if they had won that Michigan game where they blew it, they would have been in the Big Ten tournament, and they would have played a Hopkins team they'd be in the regular season.
Yeah.
Like, if they'd won that game, they were still perfectly in line to make have a chance at the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, even in AQ, as you're right, like, they beat Hopkins, and they gave Maryland all they could handle.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing to them, is they played against the back end, Cornell, Maryland, and Hopkins. I believe they had a lead in the fourth quarter of every one of those games. And they lost two of them.
Yeah, Robert Morris as well, and Villanova. They were leading all four of those games, fourth quarter, by like two or three goals in the Villanova and
Robert Morris quarter. You get the understandable part of, like, oh, you know, you got to close those games out. And it feels like kind of the story of just Penn State as a program with Tamberoni of, like, everyone's always kind of, like, trying to find a reason to say this is it, and it hasn't quite happened. But then you look at those losses, and it's like, man, it really is not hard to see those going the other way. And it really ain't, again, when you look at the talent on this roster, really ain't hard to see them being, you know, a top five team. So, I mean, we'll see. Again, it is put up or shut up time for them. No doubt about it.
Lastly, our last combatant into the Royal Rumble is Rutgers. Let's go with Rutgers. Let's see who's been derailed by. I was gonna say Daniel Bryan because of saying the hot run's getting derailed by injury, but Daniel Bryan's won things.
Yeah.
So
just like Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey. That's a good
like,
one.
There's the endless optimism, and there's, you know, the really good results in there, and then but when push comes to shove, we all just remember the losses. Like, that's the story with poor old Rutgers, is you look at the teams they've beaten. They beat Hopkins by 7 goals in 2016, and they beat him in the Big Ten tournament. They beat him twice. In 2017, they beat, you know, Ohio State. At the end of the year, Ohio State team that lost in the national championship game. In 2018... they beat, you know, beat Penn State by 3. They beat Syracuse by 4. They beat that Syracuse win,
which was way better than the score suggested.
Yeah, they beat Robert Morris by 4 at the beginning of the year. But all anyone really remembers with Rutgers is that they lost to Hopkins by a goal, on like a last second buzzer beater last year, or that they were 8-0. To start the 2017 year, and then lost by 4 goals to Delaware. Mm-hmm. And lost the 1-goal game to Maryland in 2017, that they would have, if they would have won, they would have gone to the NCAA tournament, and Maryland was dead on their feet.
Yes,
and
that
Rutgers
one was
couldn't put them away.
Yeah, that one was the worst one. And then last year, also remember, they were leading Princeton by, what, 5 in the fourth quarter in the Central Jersey Derby, blew it, and lost. That could have held their at large.
Or that in 2016, they were a game away from making the NCAA tournament, and then they lost by 6 to Maryland. Now, there is no shame in losing to that 2016 Maryland team. But anyway, you get the point.
Yeah.
There is so much good with Rutgers, and that all we remember really is the losses. And in some ways, it's not fair because, like, some of the things are just out of their hand. If Denver had just won the darn Big East tournament at some point in the last 3 years, Rutgers is probably in the tournament.
Maybe 2 out of 3 times if Denver helped.
Yeah, like the first 2 years, 2016 and 2017, if Denver just helped them out and done the job. Last year was a bit of a weaker team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so yeah, it feels like a bit with this team, like, you know, they missed their moment. But there's still a lot of good pieces here. Garrett Mullins is great. Casey Rose is really good. Tommy Coyne and Ryan Gallagher were good players as a freshman. If Adam Charlambides is who he was, they get back an all Big Ten first team kind of player. You know, Garrett McKiley, Kyle Plus, there is a lot of really good players on this Rutgers team. And so that's the thing. The thing is that, look, man, there's a lot of good players on every Big Ten team. It's a stacked conference. And it's, how are you going to stick out? You know, they've got the style, the way they play to do it. You take a peek at, you know, the schedule for them. They get Loyola at home. You know, they get Princeton at home, they get Maryland at home. You know, so there are chances there, and this is a great home team. You know, so there is chances there to, you know, rack up some wins at home. And of course, you know, like the schedule for them had been a prom. And non-con this year, they play Loyola and they play Syracuse. And you know, and then you, of course, the Big Ten is the Big Ten. So, you know, the schedule's there. There are opportunities for them. It would not shock me if, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot, I think, but beyond Maryland, Penn State, and Hopkins. You know, if they could beat Michigan at home and then beat Ohio State, and they're going to get two wins, right? You know, they get Ohio State first in Big Ten play, who they've had success against before, and they get Michigan at home, and they're a great home team, they get in the Big Ten tournament. And, you know, you get in the Big Ten tournament, you got a shot, and you've got some non-con chances for wins as well. It wouldn't be surprising at all if this was a team that, again, was in contention for an at-large spot.
I'm actually really impressed with the off-the-field acquisition of Dan Cochi from Towson. Like, one thing I've always felt with Towson, I never felt like their players were, like, overwhelmed, even if they're playing, like, you know, elite-level talent. Like, if Rutgers, a couple of those, like, one-loss games against Hopkins and, or Maryland, I just remember those games so clearly, especially that triple overtime game in 17, right, where they had Maryland on the ropes. Like, you know, they, like, you know, he's caused turnovers but just unable to get into offensive end. Like, I just kind of feel like, you know, a guy like Cochi and obviously Summer as an offensive coordinator, those are two, you know, maybe not Cochi yet, but, you know, Summer is obviously a head coach, like two really high-quality assistants that can kind of maybe, like, help, like, just finish the job. Like, we kind of feel like not only do they need to replace Henningberg, but, like, who's, like, you know, led the team in goals, points, and assists, but, like, the team has got to get better because the conference as a whole is getting better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Penn State is loaded. Michigan is coming. But Ohio State wasn't that far off last year, and they still have, like, you know, pretty elite level players. So, like, team like Rutgers, who, you know, maybe deserved to be in the tournament a couple of those years, but, like, always kind of came up short. Now, not only do you have to, like, match last year, but you have to, like, kind of be even better because the conference as a whole is just, it's, there's no let up in the Big Ten. Like, you can go from second, like, Maryland for me is, like, going to be number one or two, you know, I feel pretty confident, but you can go from, like, number two to number six pretty easy in the Big Ten. And I'm even saying this as a Hopkins fan, like, but obviously Penn State beat us last year and they're going to be better this year, you know what I mean? Like, but you can get losses pretty quickly, and if Michigan is ahead of schedule, you know, this is going to be a very crowded conference, and it's going to be exciting as a fan. But, you know, maybe tough if you're a Rutgers fan, if they, you know, kind of don't step up this season.
Let's segue this into predictions. First, let's do our Big Ten champ. Now, this can be either the regular season champ or the conference champ. We're not judging either way. So, who do you think is going to win the Big Ten?
Oof.
I'm going to go Maryland. It's always, I know it's a safe bet. I know it's no safe bet in the Big Ten this year, but going with the safest bet might be the good way to go, and nothing that Coach Tillman has done would make me disagree with that at this point. So give me Maryland, but it's going to be tough for them. But I think they pull it out in the end.
I think Maryland as well. I think Hopkins has three really tough games over on the road. Michigan, you're going to have to travel to Michigan. Penn State on the road, I believe that's probably going to be a night game. And the season finale at Maryland. You know, Hopkins is going to play them tough, but those are just three tough games on the road. And it's not like the home games against Rutgers and Ohio State are going to be any, you know, gimmies either. So I just kind of think Maryland's a team to beat until they are beaten in the regular season.
Yeah, the big problem benefit from Maryland is they get Penn State and Hopkins at home, so they get both of the probably two biggest contenders at home, while both Penn State and Hopkins have to go on the road to one of, you know, the three. So the schedule probably, you know, I mean, I think Maryland's the best team, but the schedule also kind of scales in their favor, so I'll go Maryland.
Now, this is going to be the interesting thing with the at-large situation. I know at least one person on this is going to be very gung-ho on the Big Ten's chances. I'll be a little bit more realistic.
I got five on it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so there's, let me do the math right here. There's nine conferences that have AQs. The 10th is the ACC. Does not have an AQ. Correct me if I'm wrong in the time being, but I think that is the, well, we did three. Yeah, so there's 10 conferences, 9 have AQs, so there's 8 at-larges. Things have to go right for the Big... Here's my take. I think you have to make the Big Ten tournament to get an NCAA berth. So I think the Big Ten gets 3, because I did the math here. Realistically...
You think they're only getting 3?
No, they're going to get 4 teams in the AQ plus 3 at-larges.
Okay.
Oh, I hear you.
Three at-larges, okay. And the AQ, because this is the math that has to play out. Realistically, the ACC is going to get at least 3 in. In our ACC podcast, we said Duke, UVA, Syracuse should be in. Notre Dame, it's going to depend on what side of 500 they fall on. The Ivy League, you would figure the Cornell-Yale loser, assuming that things go according to plan, would... get at least 1 at large for them. Maybe a second if Princeton crashes the party.
No, stop it. Stop it. You think Princeton is any more likely to get an at large?
If they get hot in a 2, I'm not saying as an at large, if they disrupt the Ivy League tournament.
Okay, yeah. Okay, fair.
I don't think Princeton gets in as an at large, but if Princeton crashes the party, wins the Ivy tournament. And yeah,
I doubt it, but I'm a little more accepted with that.
And then the Patriot League. Most likely 0, but if Lehigh could keep it up all year and let's say they play Loyola close in the title game, they could get 1 at large. Most likely 0, maybe 1. But here's
we'll play your scenario just for the sake. So then we got 3 ACC, 1 Ivy, 1 Patriot. That's 5.
Which means 3 for the Big Ten. Now, there could be a best-case scenario where it's only 3 in the ACC, 1 in the Ivy, 0 in the Patriot League, but here's the thing, that everything has to go perfectly, where every number one seed has to win their conference, and a certain team in Denver tends to not do that in the Big East. So, it's never happened.
Thing.
Yeah, it's never clean come conference championship time.
If you want to tell me that the Big Ten will have 6 teams that will be in the conversation, my answer is yes. Like every single one of these teams is in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in a 16-team tournament, it's just someone is going to get the math probably doesn't add up for 5 to get in. But if there is a conference ever that could do it, it's this one.
Penn State is a really interesting one. Because that Nova game, to some people, that's a top 20 game.
But that
stretch of Yale, Penn is not going to be, not national team. But Yale and Cornell, if they sweep Yale, Cornell, and Penn, they're the kind of team that they're the ones that will, like, if they don't make the Big Ten tournament, but they have like a good win, similar this year, they beat Maryland. They beat Hopkins or Maryland, one of those two, and like a Michigan, but not enough to get in the tournament. They're the kind of team, like, if they win all their non-con games, especially if they sweep Cornell and Yale, they're the kind of team that if they don't make the Big Ten tournament, I think winning all the non-con games in a 2 Ivy League ones like that could get them in.
But again, are you really going to be both Yale and Cornell on the road?
And then finish 5th in the Big Ten in the process if you...
And
that's the other thing. If anything, I think they jump over whoever finishes 4th in the Big Ten who might not
probably
have a stronger schedule.
Yeah, they would probably knock someone out who finishes 4th. That would probably be the case, yeah. Sort of in like, what is it, the old way Hopkins kind of jumped over Rutgers, even though Rutgers, beat him twice in that one.
Yeah, so I think the Big Ten will get 4. I think five. Five is everything has to go according to place.
Right? Yes,
four total.
I'd be stunned if they didn't get 4. Like something will have gone. The conference will not be as good as we expect it to be.
That's the what? Because I think you can get like your top 3, and maybe it's random, but like if Penn State can beat Yale and Cornell, don't make the tournament, but they'll be the 4th team in the Big Ten if they have 2 non-con wins like that, and they don't have any blemishes.
In that case, I think they would probably beat whoever finishes 4th. They'd probably jump whoever finishes 4th in the Big Ten.
They would need the math if the Big Ten were to get 4 at large, so 5 teams overall. They would need 1 of Cornell and Yale to really collapse, or the whole Ivy League to collapse, more or less, where they're a one-bid league.
The ACC complex is not going to let justice reign and allow five teams from the Big Ten.
On top of that, though, the ACC has three legitimate top 10 or so teams in Duke, Virginia, and Syracuse. So the more
compelling question is how many seeds do they get? That's the funner part.
Yeah,
I think they're going to get three seeds. Is there an outside chance that they get four?
Maybe, that's more compelling. Yeah, it depends on who the four seeds. If the fourth
team
is.
I don't think they get four seeds because you do the top three, then you do Loyola, then you do Duke, then you do one ACC, then you probably do Denver, and then
Yale.
Yeah, just in. Okay, there you go. See, I'm saying three seeds, but
What was 2017? We had
2017. We had four.
Yeah, Maryland, Ohio State, Hopkins, and Penn State.
Yeah, he had four seeds, but that was a
glorious year.
That was also a dominant Yale and a potentially dominant.
And Yale. Right, we had a 18 team. Didn't we have extra tournament team?
No, I think it was 17. I think they did 18 the first 2 years, and then it went down to 17 after the ACC lost the AQ.
Oh, only one play in that year. Yeah.
So I think. In my opinion, unless there is a real extraneous case like Penn State somehow is the 5-seed, but in that scenario where they swept non-con, I think you have to make the Big Ten tournament to get into the NCAA tournament, but the Big Ten tournament bid more or less is going to be your golden ticket into the NCAAs.
Yeah, agreed. No, I mean, look, it's a case of, I mean, they've got three legit... to me, Final Four contenders. And I think only one other conference has, to me, two that I really look at, and that's the Ivy. So, yeah, the math probably doesn't add up for some, you know, Big Ten hegemony scenario, but as far as, you know, the elite, you know, teams in the nation, I think they are going to have quite a few of them.
So that will do it for our Big Ten preview. Thank you for listening to our College Crosscast 2019 conference previews. As always, you can follow us for all your college lacrosse news, collegecross.com. Follow us on Twitter, college_cross, and you can follow me at RyanMcD29.
At Jake_Zar.
And I am at Erie_Barrister.
And you could check out all 11 conference previews by subscribing to College Crosscast. We're on Podomatic. That's our host. You could also subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. And starting this week, you can now follow us on Spotify. So while you're jamming out to your playlist, you could also listen to us on your Spotify app. So from all of us at College Crosscast, thanks for listening and stay hydrated.